Today's passage is John 2, verses 1 to 12. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine, but you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Here in John 2, we have the first miracle of Jesus as recorded in the Gospel of John. Because this is a narrative, we won't analyze it verse by verse like other passages, but we'll look at a few details and then some themes. The setting of this first miracle in John is a wedding at Cana. Weddings back then, just like now, were joyous occasions, a time to celebrate in abundance. So it would be pretty bad for the wine to run out. It would be a letdown for the guests and, of course, the hosts of the wedding. Jesus' mother lets him know about this problem, and in this brief exchange, we learn that Jesus has his hour in mind. He says, "My hour has not yet come." Jesus is likely referring to his time of suffering on the cross, which will lead to his glory later on. He lets Mary know in a respectful way. Note that "woman" is a respectful term to address her, not a rude term. He lets her know that he is no longer under her authority. He cares for her, but his identity as Messiah is much greater than his role as her son, and his hour of suffering and glory is for God alone to determine. Nonetheless, he still takes action. The servants just have to do as Mary instructs, do whatever he tells you to. The narrative moves quickly. The servants follow Jesus' instructions to fill up to the brim 6 stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification. This is an important detail that John records. Again, the purpose of the water jars was for purification. In the Mosaic law, there were certain things that made people unclean. For example, being around a dead person or coming across sickness. Presumably, these water jars would be part of the law for making people clean again for worship or bringing sacrifices or practices like that. Jesus transforms the water in these jars that were meant for the Jewish rites of purification. Also, just want to point out that it was a lot of water that Jesus transforms. 20 or 30 gallons is like the trash cans at the Symphony Church office. In verse 10, the master of the feast, who is unaware of what's going on, tastes the water become wine, and he proclaims that this is good wine. He has to tell the bridegroom that this is unusually good for the stage of the wedding. And verse 11 describes the effect of this miracle. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is an example of John 20:31, where John writes that these signs are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The first sign does exactly that. His disciples believed in him. Now they already started believing in him from the previous chapter when he called them, but now their faith is being deepened as they catch a glimpse of his glory. Take a few seconds and think about this sign. What is the purpose of this miracle of Jesus turning water into wine? What does this sign point to? I'm sure there's a lot we could say for that. At a basic level, it shows that Jesus has incredible power over the physical. You can just imagine the servants and the disciples being amazed when the water that they poured into the jars was called good wine by the master of the feast. The physical part of this miracle itself shows the power that Jesus has as the Son of God. The Greeks had legends of Dionysus, the god of wine, but nobody had ever seen somebody change water into wine. At another level, the sign also shows that Jesus brings transformation, specifically to what purification looks like. The Jewish rites of purification would become the old ways of purification. We know that Jesus transformed what brings purity. It is Jesus himself who makes us pure before God, not any water or animal sacrifices or sets of laws. We are made clean before God and can approach him confidently now, free of sin and guilt and shame, by the blood of Jesus. This way is so much more permanent and so much better. Today, let's reflect on this first miracle of Jesus in the book of John. Can we reflect on how we are made pure before God? How Jesus changed completely our relationship with God? Was once a hopeless situation, Jesus transformed into abundance and joy. In our struggles with sin, let's come back to Jesus again and again to be made pure before God. Like the disciples, let's deepen our belief in him and find life in him. And let's look to his glory and give him praise. Let me pray. Lord, we give you praise for what you did. Jesus, we thank you that you transformed the ways of purity, that the old ways wouldn't do. But Jesus, you yourself became the way to purity before God. Lord, we confess our sins and we bring before you all the things that make us unclean and unfit to come before you. But Lord, we take assurance in the fact that you died and you rose again and your blood cleanses us from all of our sins. God, we thank you for this grace and we pray that we would live transformed in light of this grace that you have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.